Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Talking to the baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station. That's here in Cairns. BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you say, mob, yarn up strong. Yeah, we're living in a different world at the moment, so because of the COVID-19, we're going to catch up a yarn now and have a talk to Alex and Michaela from Murrawa Law. And the topic is, can workplaces make the COVID-19 vaccination mandatory? It's a question we've been asking, and the topic has been coming up in regard to the rollout of the vaccine. Where do we stand? That's the question. Jump over to Alex. Well, very good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thanks.
Good. Alex and Michaela, thank you very much. Alex, introduction. Australia is currently preparing to roll out... give us the intro, sorry, for...
So Australia is currently preparing to roll out our national vaccination program for the COVID-19 in the coming months, and it raises concerns and conversations for employees and employers. Many of the employees and organisations, especially those that employ or work with vulnerable people, including our mob, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, are thinking about whether or not they're going to require employees to be vaccinated as a condition of employment.
Yeah, so if you look at it, there are many laws about making the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for employees. What's your take on that, Michaela?
Yeah, so currently there's no specific laws about making the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for employees. However, most states and territories have public health orders in place which are requiring workers in residential aged care to be vaccinated against influenza, except where the employee has a medical reason not to. We are also waiting for the state and federal governments to provide more clear guidance on the issue of mandatory vaccines in the workplace.
So, Alex, what obligations do employees have to employees?
Employers have a duty of care to its employees and are required to comply with the health and safety legislation to ensure that the workplace is a safe environment for its employees and clients. Employers need to consider that the nature of their organisation and their employees' risk of exposure to COVID-19 before making a decision about the COVID-19 vaccine. For example, workplaces where employees are working with vulnerable people, such as aged care, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, are likely to make the vaccination policy to make sure their clients, patients and employees are safe. These workplaces are at a high risk of getting and developing serious illnesses, such as COVID-19, due to the number of factors and obviously pre-existing health conditions. However, in other workplaces, such as professional services, having a COVID-19 safe plan that includes social distancing and wearing masks and working from home may be sufficient to ensure that the workplace is complying with workplace health and safety obligations to stop the spread of the virus.
So, Michaela, what are some legal risks for employers to make the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for employees?
So employers should be cautious about requiring vaccination as a condition of employment to avoid unfair dismissal claims, discrimination claims, and also workers' compensation claims. So, for example, if an employee refuses the vaccine because of their religious, ethical, or medical beliefs, the employer may face a discrimination claim. And another example is where an employee is instructed to take the COVID-19 vaccine by their employer and then experiences harmful side effects from the vaccine. The employer in this circumstance may also face a workers' compensation claim. At this time, it is unknown how the courts and tribunals would respond to such claims relating to this COVID-19 vaccine.
A bit of a dog's breakfast, what I'm picking up.
Yeah. Alex,
exactly. What happens if you refuse to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
So you should discuss your concerns first and foremost with your employer and in an instant let them know that you're not comfortable with the vaccine. If you do decide that you don't want to get the vaccine, your employer may ask you to work from home. They may relocate you to another part of the organisation where the immunisation isn't essential. And in some instances, they may dismiss or fire you. If you are dismissed because you refuse to comply with the employer's instructions to be vaccinated, you may be able to claim protection under the Commonwealth or state anti-discrimination laws or seek protection under the relevant human rights legislation. If you believe you have been unfairly dismissed from your job, you can make an application to the Fair Work Commission within 21 days of the dismissal taking effect. Once you have completed your application, the Fair Work Commission will assess and deal with your matter.
So it's really upside down, isn't it? Michaela, what should employers do now?
So each workplace will have to take an approach based on its own circumstances and comply with the advice and laws from government. Employers should take time to carefully consider the risks associated with their workplace and whether they should have mandatory vaccinations. So in doing so, employers can keep up to date on the vaccine rollout, begin having internal discussions within their organisation about this issue and consider whether the workplace would require their employees to be vaccinated, and also implement any training or policies to keep employees informed on how to reduce the spread of COVID-19 at work and the potential benefits for the vaccination.
So there it is. And look, a very robust conversation all over the place, and it's uncharted waters.
Absolutely.
We're talking about COVID-19 in a pandemic, what have you. Mm-hmm. And some people out there, anti-vaccine.
Anti-vaxxers.
Anti-vaxxers, yeah, that's right, exactly. Don't want to take the needle. Well, where do they stand, and where does the employee stand in regard to someone getting ill and passing on the disease?
It can become quite a risk to the community as well.
Big time. So
very
it's all
messy at the moment.
Very messy at the moment. Thank you very much, ladies. Who is Marua Law?
So Marua Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. If you need legal advice, you can call us on 4041 3088.
And we are talking Black on Black, a beautiful, fantastic company there, Marua Law, and dealing with black lawyers, black staff, and black principal solicitor in Leah Cameron. Ladies, thank you very much. All the best to you. Thanks for the yarn, and we'll talk soon, girls.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there with the girls from Marua Law. And there it is. Can workplace make COVID-19 vaccination mandatory? A very important conversation, all up in the air. Converse with your employer and see where you stand. At this point in time, the vaccine is not compulsory as such, but we need to have that conversation with your employer. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number 1-800-422-416.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Have you finally found what you were looking for? A place for you to hide. But you just can't hide those feelings that just tear you up inside. Cause the memories, well, they just haunt you, and they don't let you sleep. And in that only place that you thought was safe, you still can't find no peace. Hey, people choose your sides when two worlds collide. Oh, people choose your sides when two worlds collide. Troubles down in your own hometown to blow up in your face. There'll be no one you can run to, there'll be nowhere you can hide. There'll be no one left to save you when you're left there to decide. Your sides when two worlds collide.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Phil Usher. He's the CEO of First Nations Foundation. And talk about the First Nations Foundation, which continues to rise to the challenge that comes with the closing the gap for Indigenous Australians. And talk about money, the so-called tool that we use. On the line, Phil, very good morning. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, brother, let the mob know who you're from.
Yeah, we're Adri Fella, central west New South Wales, out kind of Dubbo, Wellington, Tullamore sort of area. Dad grew up, but I grew up in Tamworth, country music capital, so I was listening to the music on here a bit earlier. Yes. A bit associated with the Gumaroi fellas there.
You are Too Deadly, brother, and they say if the music essence of life, play on. So Too Deadly come from the heart of our country music there in Australia, and that's a big shout-out there to the mob there. And now, talking about First Nations Foundation, first of all, let the mob know your role and what you mob do there, please.
Yeah, I'm CEO of the foundation, started there about 13 months ago, and we deliver financial wellbeing and education programs for Aboriginal people right across Australia. So we work with fellows in urban areas, regional and remote areas because, you know, we all learn a bit different. We all like to take in information a bit differently, all different experiences, so we try and help everyone out across Australia.
Yeah, now money is a tool and it's about getting financially intelligent, but when you look at our mob, money was stolen from us in regarding stolen generation, you know, stolen wages. So money was hard to handle, so to speak, but it's all about the education, is it not?
Well, that's it. You know, we're placed on missions and you get rations and, you know, your resources are limited. So don't have this history of managing money like the non-Aboriginal fellows have. So who do you go to? You can't ask your mum or your man or anyone because they haven't had experience. So that's what us fellas try and do. We try and help people understand money, how you can, you know, manage it, start to get ahead and do things like buying a car or buying a house. You know, we help out doing that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, because of the pandemic and the world we're living in at the moment turned the world upside down in all facets, all industries and all cultures, how did you travel in regard to the pandemic? Did it affect your foundation as such?
Yeah, it made us think a lot more in a digital sense. We put a lot more stuff online. We launched a website called indigenoussuper.com.au. Mm-hmm. So that's for fellas to jump on and, you know, learn a bit about superannuation, some of the stuff that's involved and why it can help our mob out in terms of the finances.
Yes.
And then we got one for the young fellas as well called Tomorrow Money. So that's a content website that, you know, talks about all different things when you're young, you know, whether it's traveling or, you know, buying a house or what do you do when you get your first big flash job. You can talk about all that type of stuff to help everyone out.
So if you look at it, like I said, money is a tool and it's about getting financially intelligent. They say that rich people got money working for them and poor people working for money. If you can get intelligent with the money and understand that tool, then you can have it working for you, yes?
Yeah, that's it. If you get your money out there, you almost treat it like an employee. You know, you get to the point where it's going out and it's bringing more money back and that's how you have a good retirement. So you're just sitting at home or you're watching the footy and your money's out there working for you. It's a good concept when you can get to it.
Yeah, exactly. And my grandfather used to always say that is money is the tool and use it wisely. He used to say, if you can't afford it cash, then you can't afford it. You know what I mean? So it's about discipline as well, isn't it?
It's a lot of discipline, and a lot of these companies get smart, particularly with our community, and they try and flash these products in front of us, like the buy now, pay later, or the payday lenders, or the book up and stuff, and it's not a bad principle, you know. If you don't have the cash to do it, it's probably not worth going into debt for, you know, try and get a bit of savings together to pay for it.
Exactly. But also with the education, you can then turn that into a business entity in regard to the knowledge, you know, and knowing how to make money work.
Yeah, for sure. It's really unlimited, and it's a different world once you start exploring it. You know, once you change that concept of giving up your time for money and start making that money, and like I said, use that as a tool and use that as leverage, whether it's in business or your personal finance, it can be, really powerful.
Fantastic. So to anybody out there who want to get financially intelligent, they can get in touch with First Nations Foundation. How do they do that, please, Phil?
Yeah, main website, firstnationsfoundation.org.au. We've got indigenoussuper.com.au or tomorrowmoney.co. Whole heap of information out there and really good places to start.
Easy format system to follow, so to speak?
Yeah, it's designed for mob, designed by Aboriginal people. So we understand how we like to read and receive information. It's not too boring or it's not too, you know, too tedious to read. So it should be good.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. First Nation Foundation is doing its bit and closing the gap regarding finances and money, and money is the tool. Thank you for sharing, Phil. All the best to your deadly team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, mate.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wait.
a deadly yarn there. That's Phil Usher, his name is. He's a Wiradjuri man, and he's the CEO of the First Nation Foundation. So, look, it's just making money work for you. If you want to get out of debt, you know, the other thing is debt is do everything but think. So you need to think. You need to get educated. Financial intelligence is what we're talking about. And as we travel through life and you come out of high school and you start working, you're working in a job and you get a pay packet. And you work for the whole of your life for a pay packet if you don't go into business. So in actual fact, get that money working for you. Get educated. So check out those deadly web pages, indigisuper.com.au, to understand your superannuation. And also Tomorrow Money Co. That's another program that the First Nation Foundation has organised. So to help you through navigating through the future and regarding your finances and getting money work for you, that's very, very important. Get educated, your mob. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Muck around, Trendy Trev here with your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Give the Murray a call, 1-800-422-416. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Shanine on the line. We've got a caller, local girl from Cairns here. Shanine, good morning. How are you? Hello, Shanine. Oh, Shanine, Shanine there? Shanine? Shanine, got to give Shanine a call back. Okay, let me try again. Shanine, good local call. It wants to talk about First Nation people and how we stand in this country as 21st century, and working and talking about how we operate all industries and regarding First Nation people in this country. But this daily program is a one-hour program. It goes 11 a.m. to 12 noon Queensland time, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service, and you can yarn up strong, add to the conversation. Any topic you want to talk about, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. I'll try again and catch up with Shanine. Shanine, you there? Good morning.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm good, Shanine. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good. Just a local girl living in Cairns?
Yes, local girl, Cairns girl. Grew up here, born and bred.
All right. First Nation girl?
Yes.
All right, fantastic.
Aboriginal, South Sea Island Irish.
Oh, there, beautiful mix, fruit salad. Yeah. I got a bit of that too, sister.
Oh, okay, no worries.
Yeah. All right, with your topic, what do you want to yarn about today, sis?
Yeah, so I just wanted to put forward, like, the Republic. You know, now that all these things come out about, like, the royals and everything, now Australia wants to come into a republic. Mm. I mean, like, the last time we spoke about it was, like, 22 years ago.
Sure.
And now, like, now they want to become a republic. So what is that going to mean for the Indigenous people? Are they going to actually realise now that, you know, are we ever going to get noticed that we are the first people of this land? You know, and people don't know this, but, like, you know, we have two cultures here. We have the Torres Strait Islanders and the Aboriginals.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't know that. That's very unique for a country to have that.
But true.
The white people, I'm sorry to say it like this, but they don't embrace our culture. They just want to keep on destroying it.
Mm.
You know, they talk about the slaves and all the slave trades, you know, and, you know, people are saying that we missed it, but we didn't. You know, the slaves were here. That's how the South Sea Islanders came here.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, and like they say with this republic, like, you know, they want to get over this penal colony. We're calling, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And, like, you know, it's not going to happen until they start recognising it, that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders were the first people of this country.
Yes, exactly, the first people. And what you're talking about, the recognition is not there. And if you look at it, the first... Australia is a first world country, and one of the first world countries that hasn't got a treaty with the First Nation people.
That's
so they're way behind the eight ball anyway.
Yeah, and, like, you know... And, like, you know, like, America's, like, 200 years in the making, like, but yet they're still on the same page as us.
Yeah, exactly.
So
as an American Indian, first people there.
Yeah.
In America, yes, exactly.
But, like, you know, the American Canadians, they've got a little bit more than us. Like, you know, they've got them on their reservations and they've got their casinos and all that, you know?
Mm.
If we become a republic, are they going to let the indigenous people have their own way of doing things on their communities? Because they were the ones who put us there in the first place. Or are the white people still going to be the boss?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
You know, they put us on a community so we can defend for ourselves, but yet they still have the say in what happens in the communities and what happens with Indigenous people.
Yeah, exactly. And not all happening. We're talking about closing the gap in all facets of life, employment, education, health, all the above, and the gap is just widening, isn't it?
There's no closing of anything. I mean, like, I'm sorry to say, I went to school, did a whole lot, year 12, went further, got an education, went to thing and got, like, college and everything like that, you know.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because black people still got to work 10 times harder than the white person to get noticed in anything whatsoever.
Exactly. And you've got that black skin and racism is strong in this this country, applying for a job. You didn't get the job. Sometimes it's not because you're not qualified, it's because you've got that black skin.
That's right, and it's sad because
it is sad.
It's just like, when are we ever going to get recognised as the first people of this nation?
Yep.
Well,
singing
thank
to
you
the
for
choir
that.
Here.
I have to go.
Yes, sister. Thank you very much. Shanine, go do what you got to do. Thanks, sister.
No worries. Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye. There we have it, Shanine, local First Nation girl here in Cairns, just adding to the conversation, talking about the concerns as First Nation people. We haven't got a treaty with the Australian government, the first people here. We're not recognised. Racism's still strong in all facets, on the sporting field, as well as in the political world, as well as on just on everyday streets in this country. So, look, there it is, and stamp out racism. But where do we sit? Add to the conversation. Tell us your thoughts on what should be happening in regard to how we're travelling and what we're doing in this world in regard to looking after our people here. This program is a one-hour program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Like I said, we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebit Media, 98.7 FM. So do add to the conversation. Want to hear from your mob? Let's go to Ancient Warrior with Zenith, local talent here in Cairns. The Coranda mob, big shout out. All the Riley mob up there and all the Deadly mob there living there on Jabaka land. Too Deadly.
Potions got me seeing visions. It got me dreaming about this sacred place. I run now, or should I face my fate? See, but look in your eyes, find it hard to believe it just came to life. It's got me mesmerized, hypnotized. Well, this is ancient art, it will never die. Well, this is ancient art, and it will never die. Never die. Rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. Rainforest warrior, get down, down, down. Rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. Rainforest warrior, listen to that sound, sound, sound. Rolling down the back street, police trying to trace me the same way they did the DJ Hickey. Pull me over, hit me up for identity, questioning me about my credibility. Hit the eye too many, the blue suits with the pen and the pad and the badge. Looking down on me, I give it back. I taste of the medicine to make him think that this boy's hot. I'm shaking the spot, I ain't leaving the spot. Whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not. Ooh, yeah, hey. A rainforest warrior, an ancient warrior. A rainforest warrior, get down, down, down. Rainforest warrior, an ancient warrior. Rainforest.
listen to that sound, sound, sound. Having it to mission. This magic potion got me seeing visions. It got me dreaming about this sacred place. I run now, or should I face my fate? See, with look in your eyes, find it hard to believe as this came to life. It got me mesmerized, it got me hypnotized. Well, this is ancient art, but you'll never die. Well, this is ancient art, and if you'll never die, never die. A rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. A rainforest warrior, get down, down, down. Rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. A rainforest warrior, and listen to that sound, sound, sound.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say with calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the final report of the Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety, handed to the Governor-General on Friday, will no doubt focus on the failure of the federal government and the aged care industry to deliver high-quality care that older people and the broader community expects. Is likely to make sweeping recommendations for change. We're going to catch up a yarn with distinguished Professor Sarah Charleswood and talk about the Aged Care Royal Commission. On the line, very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, yeah, it's about looking after older Australians. The government has dropped the ball in that sense, hence the Aged Care Royal Commission. Tell us about the findings and where we're at and how does the future look?
Well, it's a pretty comprehensive report. It's, in eight different volumes, but if you like, the guts of it are in the first couple. It's proposing a radical changing of our system. What I think, quite frankly, is exciting is it's actually saying to the federal government, you have to step back in. You can't pretend now that it's nothing to do with you and leave it to the industry.
Exactly.
They're saying you have to take charge and you are responsible for the quality of the aged care and you've got to put certain provisions in place both in residential aged care but also in home care services. And I think that's really important because for many years the successive governments have kind of left it up to what they call the industry.
Yes.
And the industry is increasingly for-profit providers.
Yes.
And we've been spending a lot of money in aged care, that's true, but we still spend less than many other comparable wealthy nations. If we think, of our percentage GSP, we spend about 1.2% of our GST. Other comparable nations spend about, 2.5 up to 3%. So we're all getting older. Aged care is an expensive business. But sure. I suppose what they've also done is not just say we need more money. We need to be transparent about the money.
Because, Professor, you're saying that it is not only a business is where they've been operating it, they're forgetting about the human factor and looking after the elders.
Absolutely forgetting about the human factor. So what we've seen, and they've got some pretty terrifying data there, if you just take residential aged care, we've been decreasing the number of workers looking after our older people. We look at home care, what's really scary, Trev, is that we've been decreasing the maximum number of hours of care. So under these aged care packages, even if you've got at the top level, that can work out to about 8 hours of care a week. Well, that's not enough. If you're at level 4, that means you're pretty dependent And if you're not going to get really good, you know, community support, be it nurses, be it, you know, personal care workers to help you shower, get out of bed, etc., then we're in a real mess. So that they've said, okay, no more capping because the government to save costs and cap the system of home care. No more capping the system. We have to be providing what people need. It's going to be expensive. Okay, let's talk about how expensive it's going to be. But we're also going to have to make sure that it's transparent, that we actually know where that money's going.
Well, and it's not about expenses. It's about investment, you know, it's about nurturing the older Australians that brought us to where we are today.
You're absolutely right. And, I mean, that's something where the white community could learn a lot from the Indigenous community about respect for elders.
Elders, yes.
Really treating older people as treasures and of repositories of great wisdom and knowledge. And we need to be doing far more. I think the aged care system is, well, let's keep them comfortable till they die.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
Not good enough, exactly. Well, we're all going to get old, aren't we, Professor?
Well, I'm well on my way. I suspect I'm further along.
Brenda used to say, too old to marry, but too young to bury.
Well, yes, I like that one. But, you know, I think that this is really important. But I was pleased to see in the Royal Commission, in anticipation of my interview with you, that there's a whole section devoted to what they say, respecting uniqueness, aged care for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And the system that they're recommending is not this kind of cut back kind of one that we've seen, particularly with consumer-directed care, where you've got, you know, rationed care, task-based. It's going for much more holistic model. It's really talking about, they're saying we need more Indigenous-specific aged care.
Yep.
And we need to properly resource it, recognising that in Indigenous communities...
We'll take a page out of our book, is what we're saying.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mm. And we don't just see people as individuals, they're members of a community.
Exactly.
So not only do we need to look after members of a community, provide the resources, but we also need to connect up particularly with other health services, because one of the big things in aged care is that we don't have a proper interface with our hospital or emergency system. So if someone falls, for example, in residential aged care, usually they're bundled off into hospital, whether or not, you know, they've broken a bone. And that, for lots of older people, really starts them off on a quite rapid decline.
Sure, it's exactly. Well, it breaks their spirit, not only their bones.
That's a great way of putting it. It does break people's spirit. And there's what I think was the most powerful thing during the process of the Royal Commission was all the testimony from older people talking about how their spirit had been broken.
Yes.
Talking about nobody ever having time to stop and talk to them, about them just being a task to, you know, get out of bed, get washed, get dressed, get breakfasted, and no one having time to kind of build that relationship, to sit and have a yarn, to sit and find out how people are.
Cup of tea, exactly.
Notice.
Good morning, how are you? I mean, how are
exactly,
you?
Exactly. Yeah. And what we've seen in home care is we've seen, for example, you know, the basic thing of maybe showering an older person, increasingly the time's cut back, and you simply can't shower an older person in 15, 20 minutes. That's not how it works. You have to be respectful, you have to take your time, you have to talk to people. This is, you know, this is kind of what one of my colleagues calls intimate body work, and you need to respect that people can feel embarrassed if they're naked and you're showering them.
Of course.
How do you put them at their ease? And you do that by developing a relationship, by getting to know them, knowing what's important to them, how they like things done, and all of that requires time. And
well, they are still people. They're still human. They've still got feelings.
Well, they're more than still human. They're really important. And that's why I said we've really got to start to... I think what has underpinned what's happened in Australia is perhaps a awful kind of ageism, where we do see these people as disposable elders. They've run their course, well, you know, move over for the younger generation kind of thing. It's not good enough.
Yeah. Well, it's good we had the Royal Commission on Aged Care, but then it's sad that it had to come to this to shine the light on it.
It is sad it had to come to this, but we've got to keep now the government held to account.
Exactly.
I'm a bit anxious because on a couple of points that two commissioners disagreed. One thought that the responsibility should be within a new Department of Health and Ageing, and the other one thought it should be in a new aged care commission. And I'm hoping that this government doesn't go, okay, well, then they don't agree, then we don't have to do anything. I think there's a real appetite for change. And what I've been cheered by, there's real ground swell among lots of families. And I think certainly down here in Victoria, where we copped COVID worse than you did there in Queensland, Trev, it really brought home how vulnerable and how isolated older people have been.
Well, exactly. Well, when you look at the elders, the people at the table making those so-called decisions, they too once will get old, and it'd be a different story. They'll change their tune, will they not?
Well, you know? They will. They will. But at the moment, we've referred to aged care as a market. Well, the previous commissioner, Richard Tracy, in his interim report says aged care is not a commodity. It's not a market.
No.
And that doesn't come through as shiningly clear in this final report, but it's still there that this is not something that you can... This is not like buying a car.
No.
This is treating people, and we have to treat people with respect and encourage them to live their best lives.
Well, and actually, if you want to use a car analogy, well, it's a vintage car, and look after it. You know what I mean? Yeah, true.
Yeah,
good point.
You've got a nice turn of phrase there. And therefore, it being a vintage car, it might need a little bit more love and a little bit more tenderness and a little bit more coaxing and, you know,
exactly.
time.
Empathy.
We all, as we age, really deserve respect, and older people shouldn't feel that they're some kind of unnecessary...
So, Professor, the Royal Commission, so there it is. It's now come out. It's like a guideline for the future and, how you say, to make it all better for all involved, yes?
Well, in theory, Trevor, I'm afraid I'm probably too old now. I'm slightly cynical. This is the 21st inquiry in the last 20 years we've had into aged care.
21 too many.
Too many, and a lot of them have said similar things, but this one actually, I does think, get down to tin tacks, and as I said, by actually saying, government, federal government, you are responsible.
Yep.
You have to take responsibility. Yep. That is different, and because I do a lot of work with aged care workers, I'm really pleased that they say good working conditions, good pay, are really important for making sure we've got good care. Because if we've got not enough staff run off their feet or home care workers with impossible
the care drops.
Workloads, then we're not going to get good quality care either.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I think we'll all have to keep the pressure on. But as I said, there is a roadmap, particularly for Indigenous services, particularly in rural and remote areas.
Yes.
And the pressure now has to be placed on the government to fund those adequately, because it's all very well to say, this is what we should do. Another innovation I should just quickly add of the Royal Commission was to propose or recommend we need a pricing authority.
Yep.
Because for too long we haven't actually got down to the nitty-gritty of what an hour of care in residential aged care, an hour of care in home care costs, what it actually costs, not what we think we can get away with.
Exactly, what it costs, and pay for that. Put the money up front, yes.
What does it cost? So in residential aged care, for example, they said there has to be a minimum of 200 minutes spent individually with each resident per day, of which, 40 minutes have to be spent by a registered nurse. So it's actually saying, and to do that, we would need a whole lot more staff there.
Exactly.
We also need staff being developed. We need to bring nurses back into the system, lots of residential aged care. You'll have one nurse to 60 beds, 100 beds. You know, they're just doing documentation in an office till something happens. But they don't have the time to be doing that.
Well, we need to make the time. We need to have the eyes, ears, heart, mind open, the spirit open for the conversation with our elders.
Yeah, we sure do. And we need to listen to them, because they're not all the same.
Yes.
And they'll all have, individual... needs and wants and preferences
and stories
and we've got to encourage them and let them tell their stories in their own way.
Exactly. Look, a beautiful conversation. We'll be watching it very closely. Thank you very much, Professor Sarah. All the best to your team and your family, and we'll yarn soon.
Good. Thank you, Trevor. See you.
Bye. Take it. Bye-bye. Dedele Yande, distinguished Professor Sarah Charlesworth, and talking about the Aged Care Royal Commission and the rollout of it, and about the government stepping up and investing more in that area, in that space, and looking after elders. We will all get there, but we need to start now. And as Professor Sarah did mention, 21 inquiries in the last 20 years. 21 too many. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, to deliver the track, Mabo, Yothi Indy, just a touch of it in regards to the next caller we got online. I believe we've got Greg on the line. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Very, very well, Trendy Trev. The Storm won.
Melbourne Storms, the season started NRL, and you and I are big supporters of Melbourne Storms, and they defeated the Rabbitohs 26-18, and a good start for the season, brother.
Great game too, wasn't it? Did you get to watch?
Yeah, fantastic. Watched it, yes, fired up. Yeah. All good. And then we've got a game tonight. We've got Knights and Bulldogs. And, of course, we've got the Broncos up against the Eels at Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah.
Sounds too good, mate. So you follow the other teams? Who's the other teams you follow?
Yeah, Cowboys, Broncos.
All right, yes. Tigers. Broncos wooden spooners last year. Who's that?
What's that, mate?
I said Broncos wooden spooners last year.
Oh, well, you know, things happen. I've been supporting Carlton in the AFL for years.
Carlton? I'm a Bombers man. So, and what about Michelle? Who does she support?
She's the West Tigers.
West Tigers, all right. Okay.
And Dragons.
And Dragons as well. Excellent.
And then when Carlton's not doing too well, we support the Tigers.
Ah, Tigers, Richmond.
Can't all go right. Wrong there.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, it's good to have the football back on, and hopefully they navigated through this this COVID-19. And it's good to see it back at Amy Park there for the boys in Melbourne, the Storms, because they played a lot of the games in Queensland and Sydney, but based in Sunshine Coast last year. So
hopefully,
fingers
guys.
Crossed. Yeah. Fantastic.
They were lucky.
All right, my brother, so fantastic. Thanks for the call.
Anyway,
and
mate, I'll talk to you again. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the footy across the weekend, everybody, and all the best.
All the best. Too daily, brother. That's Greg, local caller here in Cairns, Melbourne Storm supporter, and very fired up about Melbourne beating Rabbitohs last night in the opening of the Telstra Premiership, the NRL, and the Storm got away with the win there, 26-18. They did that without Cameron Smith, who's retired, and him and his lovely wife and his three children were watching it at home, decked out in all their Melbourne gear, and their home is Gold Coast at the moment. They're saying that there may be a sign on before the June, I think the cutoff period where you can sign on players by June. Gold Coast Titans is the whisper that Cameron Smith may sign there. So that's the yarn, that's the talk anyway. We've got about 5 minutes left on the program here, your mob. So look, for a good time for me to say goodbye. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbibrip Media, 98.7 FM, First Nation radio station. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And a big shout out to all our Delhi Murray radio station, Noongar radio stations, Koori radio stations across this Delhi country. Our black voices are being heard with our music and our yarns. Others look, stay black, stay Delhi, stay strong. And we'll be yarning up very soon. And we'll say goodbye for you for now. And otherwise, look, take care and stay safe. We still have a pandemic. Abide by the rules, you mob. To Delhi.